extend a welcome to you as well. If you're watching online, again, welcome to you wherever you are. If you're new to us and you're in the building, in front of your seat you will find a connect card, and it actually flipped on the slides between the worship, and you will see a connect card there. You can do it old school and write out your contact details if you'd like to be reached, or you can simply use the QR code and that'll get your details to us, and then we can reach out to you. And we'll actually, if you do connect with us, we'll on behalf of you, we will give a $5 donation to a charity. So that's wonderful. Okay, here's a question. I know right now, like, I know who's going to answer this, at least one of them. Not mentioning any names, Gideon, but anyway, I'm going to pick on Gideon. Who here has made a New Year's resolution? Here we are. I know it's February the 2nd. Work with me, people. Who here has made a New Year's resolution? Okay, Dawn. What was it?
To connect better with my coworkers on a regular schedule.
To connect better with his coworkers on a more regular basis or schedule. Okay, that's really good. That's actually a really good New Year's resolution. Anybody else? Come on, folks. Yeah. Pardon?
Hugging my mom.
Hugging your mom, okay. I like it. Go ahead.
Does it count if you've made it but already canceled?
No, we're going there. We're gonna get there, Angela. She said, does it count if we've made one and we've already blown it? She used cancel, but I'll say blown it. Or have you made New Year's resolutions in the past, whatever they might be? I need two more. Two more New Year's resolutions. Where?
To your left.
Go ahead.
Yeah, to grow more in knowing God.
To grow more in knowing God. I wouldn't have expected anything less passion. Anybody else? Come on. One more New Year's. Yep. Yeah. To lose weight. Okay. Now I can really pick on that. Okay. But the bottom line is that we make New Year's resolutions, or at least some of us do. I actually said, I wonder if New Year's resolutions are a thing still, and they really are. In fact, amongst the millennials and Gen Z, New Year's resolutions are more popular than they have been in a long, long time. But we make these New Year's resolutions, and oftentimes they're ones that, you know, we might be half serious about. Sometimes they're ones that we're really committed to. But at the end of the day, New Year's resolutions are challenging, aren't they? Because resolutions, if you think about the word resolution, one of the root words of resolution is resolve. And to resolve to do something is to really get enough strength up or enough intestinal fortitude to make it happen. And in, you know, depending on what that particular resolution is, it may be very, very difficult to pull off. Hugging your mom, I think that's pretty attainable. Well done, Cassie. But if we go to the next slide, we know that, in fact, it says, you know, in that graphic, 88% of the people who set up resolutions end up failing in them. So Angela's already one step ahead of me. What if we made one? We've already blown it. And there are reasons why, when we make these resolutions, that we bomb out in them. Now, some of the reasons is that we don't account for setbacks, perhaps. Maybe we make a resolution and we don't account for something happening that might derail it. Or we set up an unrealistic goal that basically sets me up for failure. So I've done that before. I've set up goals that were unrealistic. Or we have perhaps, you know, the inability to understand that we have to develop a habit. I'm not going to go through all of these, but you can see how these types of resolutions that we make will fail. So actually, I'm going to pick on Gail's. Gail's was like, to lose weight. What's the problem with that goal? Now, any of you who studied in education or maybe in later high school, you might know what a SMART goal is. And a SMART goal, it's an acronym, S-M-A-R-T. A SMART goal, as opposed to a dumb goal, a SMART goal is a goal that is specific, S. M is measurable, right? It's a measurable goal. So already we can see that Gail's goal is not S and it's not M. Because she just said, lose weight. What about the A? Achievable. Is it achievable?
Yeah.
Maybe. R? Is it realistic? Is it a realistic goal? We're not going there, buddy. Or T, is it time-bound? And when we have a general, audacious goal, like that one, and I'm just, Gail gave it, so I'm going to talk about it. It's not specific, it's not measurable, achievable, not sure, because it's not really specific. What are you going for? Is it realistic? Well, it could be, but it's not specific enough. And is it time-bound? Well, we don't know. So the likelihood of that goal being achieved is what? Probably not likely. And folks, today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at what it means to actually be a disciple of Jesus and to take a look at the fact that to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, is more than just a resolution. It's a different kind of thing altogether. You see, because we're all called to be disciples. And we all need to take steps in our following Jesus that take into consideration a number of factors. Because the very things that lead us to fail in a resolution can also cause us to have issues when it comes to following Jesus, in defining what that looks like. And so we can go to the next slide. We have to ask ourselves, what is being a disciple? And what is being a disciple? First and foremost, if you're a disciple, you are someone who is committed to following Jesus. You said, you know what? I don't like my life. My life, I've tried it myself. I've done all kinds of things. It's not working for me. And through a course of events, and many of us have these types of stories, we realize we're coming at the end of ourselves, and we decide, you know what? Jesus offers us his way, the truth, and his life, and we commit our life to Jesus. Being a disciple is somebody who follows Jesus, who wants to be like Jesus. And because we've fallen in love with him, we want to walk in his ways. And therefore, it makes us eager to learn about Jesus. I'm going to pick on her. She doesn't know this is coming. But Cassie, this past week, she came Wednesday night. And we talked a little bit about the specifics of following Jesus and what that looks like on a daily basis. And so we talked about an app that she could use. And the app was, I think, Through the Word. And she messaged, hopefully this doesn't embarrass you, Cassie. I know. And basically she says, I really like Through the Word. Is it okay if I work ahead? Yes. Eager to learn. And when we follow Jesus and we're eager to learn and we want to fall in love with him more and more, what happens is invariably we can lead others in doing the same. We follow Jesus, and then the impact that he has on our lives, that reaches other people. Because the effect that we have on other people is because of what they will see in our lives, and it'll also be in the words that we say. Because, you see, our lives have been changed. And the other part of it is, of course, we don't follow Jesus in a vacuum. There's no lone rangers when it comes to following Jesus. We follow Jesus in community. We do it together. We're with each other, just like we are this morning. So we take time to be those who are together. And so what's the goal of being a disciple? So what's the goal of being a disciple? I'm not sure if it's the next slide. Maybe it's the next one. Right there. We're going to go back just to let you know. I don't have it in the right order. But the goal of being a disciple, if you're going to be a follower or an apprentice of Jesus, we're learning from him, the goal is to be with him. We want to be with Jesus. And some of us might say, you know what? I just wish that I could walk with Jesus like the disciples did. When I read the Gospels, it would have been so cool to be with Jesus. But the truth of the matter is Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to leave my spirit with you, and I'll be able to be with all of you all the time. And so our goal, because he's given us his spirit, is that we can be with him. We actually have the opportunity to be with him. Do you know he's in the room right now? I'm not sure sometimes if we even grasp that reality, but Jesus is actually in the room right now. How do I know that? It's because he is in the room with us because his spirit is amongst us. In fact, even more seemingly impossible to us, his spirit is in us. He inhabits us. He is in me. He's in you. He's in us corporately. And so when we're here, it said the scriptures say that the Holy Spirit that he's been given, that's been given to us, is the spirit of who? Jesus. He is with you. He is with me right now. And so, can we be with him? Yeah, we're with him right now. We're with him right now. And so one of the goals of being a disciple is to be with him. And then, of course, the more you're with someone, the more you become like them. And so the second goal of being a disciple would be to become like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. The more time I spend with Jesus, the more time I foster my relationship with him, the more I become like him. And we see that lived out all the time. Like I look around and I see people who have, you know, I'll just pick on some marrieds now, but I mean, you know, you look around and you see people who, they've been married a long, long time, like Bob and Judy. They've been married a long, long time. Judy is different today than she was before she met Bob. How many years have you been married, you guys? How many? 50? Don't you know Bob married up? Thing is after being together 50 years, Bob has become somewhat like Judy. Judy has become somewhat like Bob. We, as we walk with Jesus on a daily basis, as you spend time with Jesus, as you learn his ways, you become like Jesus. And then the third goal, if we want to be with Jesus, we want to become like Jesus, we want to do the things that Jesus did. We want to love one another. We want to reach others to experience the same types of freedoms that we have in our lives. And that's a whole sermon in itself. But we can do as Jesus did. It's not just about, but it does include praying for people to be healed, praying that God would give us a specific encouraging word called a prophetic word for somebody that he speaks to us, that we speak. We want those things. But we want to be able to do as Jesus did. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Folks, we can't serve like Jesus served if we're not becoming like Jesus. Because if we try to do it on our own strength, what's going to happen? We're going to end up resenting. we're going to end up angry because it's not fair. I give and I give and I give and I got nothing back. But the more we become like Jesus, the more we understand it's not about that at all. Because he gives to us. Paul says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, we comfort as we've been comforted. You see, Jesus comforts us. And if we can go back to the previous slide, see, we're called to be discipled. You're called to be a disciple. If you are calling yourself someone who has received Christ into their life, you have a calling from God to be a disciple or to be a follower or to be an apprentice of Jesus. We're blessed with a number of tradespeople in our church community. And every one of those tradespeople would have had to have been an apprentice. They would have had to work together with somebody who's a red seal in order to be able to become qualified to do the job when? How? On their own. And so we're all to follow because all of us follow something or someone. Every human that's on earth is a disciple of something. You see, we're created to be disciples. We're created to be followers. We're created to be apprentices. And if we're not careful, we can be apprenticed into something that we didn't really plan for. Because, you see, we're all becoming something. And Jesus says, follow me. He says, when I call you to follow me, I'm calling you to become like me. It's intentional. It's something that you have defined for you in the Gospels and in the New Testament. See, it's on me to foster my relationship with Jesus. It's on you to foster your relationship with Jesus. And unfortunately, because we live in a culture that's very laissez-faire and one that kind of just, you do you. You follow your own truth. Follow your heart. By the way, don't ever just follow your heart. You want to get in trouble? Follow your heart. The scriptures say the heart is what? Deceitful. So don't ever follow those things. But we have defined for us in the scriptures what it means to foster our relationship with Jesus. And you see, it's on us not just to foster our relationship with Jesus, it's also on us to encourage one another in our relationship with Jesus. So it's on me to come alongside others and to say, hey, look, here's a better way. Or if I go for a walk with someone, we interact and we talk, and I can help them just as much as I help them. Often they help me in learning how to follow Jesus better. But here's the thing, folks. The underscore on this is I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. But you see, Jesus has given us his Spirit who enables us and empowers us to be able to develop relationship. And that's an amazing, amazing truth. So it's done in community. It's done together. So I'm going to root what I'm saying today in a few scriptures. So if we go to the first scripture, it's Psalm 1, 1-3. And Psalm 1 says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. See, this is the first psalm. Psalm 1, the very beginning. And the psalmist is basically saying, look, don't walk in step with the culture. Don't walk in step with those who would lead you astray. Don't walk in step with the way that you used to live. To walk in step, I oftentimes think of the three-legged race, you know, you tie your legs together. Don't walk in step with those old ways. But my delight is in the law of the Lord, and we meditate on his law day and night. In other words, the psalmist is saying we need to foster a relationship with the living God. What a privilege. We can do that all the time, 24/7, day and night. That we meditate on him, that we think about him, that he's in the forefront of our mind. And even when we're not thinking about him, he's still with us. You see, it's not a legalistic kind of thing where some law says that, oh, Gary, you're not actually thinking about Jesus right now. That's a problem. Well, actually, he is with me anyway. I can't get any closer to Jesus than I am right now. And guess what? Objectively speaking, you cannot get any closer to Jesus right now. If you know Jesus, you've received Christ in your life, said, you know what? Wave the white flag. I can't do this by myself anymore. To answer the Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? And you say, it sucks. And so you give your life to Jesus. He's with you. You can't get any closer. Now, subjectively, sometimes the circumstances of our life cause us to feel that he's a million miles away or that I'm a million miles away from him. But at the end of the day, he is with his people. And when we follow Jesus and when we develop a consistent pattern of walking with him, we are like trees planted in streams of water that yield fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And so he plants us deep in him, and whenever you see water in the scriptures, invariably, most of the time, water refers to what? His spirit. He feeds us by his spirit, causes us to flourish, and everything that we do prospers. We're not talking about necessarily making money, although that's in there. But we're talking about prospering in life. So even when my life, to others looking at my life, might think that my life sucks, in my heart, I can still know that I'm prospering in God because he is the one whose identity I'm the one, I have his identity because he's given identity to me. And so I don't have to try to please anybody but him. Secondly, talking about being in step with the world or in step with the wicked, it says in Galatians chapter 5, I just thought of this, I said, oh, isn't that interesting? Look at verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, and so I said earlier, Jesus has given us his Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with who? With his Spirit. So we don't do the three-legged race of life tethered to those old patterns, those old ways. We keep in step with a new partner who we're tied to, and we keep in step with him, his Spirit, the Spirit of God. And as a result of that, as we keep in step with him, we receive these things called the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, because those things called the fruit of the Spirit help us to put things in perspective so that the temptations that we have to do otherwise get crucified. They are put to death in our life. We have crucified the flesh. And thirdly, the last scripture for today, just to root this in something, in Jeremiah 17, and I love this, It says this, and the whole chapter is worth reading, by the way. But blessed is the one, that's you and me, who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Notice the tree image again. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. Folks, if heat hasn't come into your life yet, it will. Let me repeat that. If heat has not come into your life yet, it will. And you must be rooted in God so that when the heat comes, you will be just like a tree that bears fruit. When the heat comes, its leaves are green, and it has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to what? Bear fruit. So even when the heat comes and everything around is suffering and falling by the wayside, because we're in Christ, because we have his Spirit, because we walk with him and we're rooted in him and we're taking steps to become like him, we bear fruit. I could go on and on and on with so many stories of you in this moment right now, bearing fruit in a season of drought. And folks, scriptures clearly teach in the New Testament that we are aliens and strangers in this world. This is not our home. In fact, I would even argue that we live in a desert. Yeah, okay, we have beautiful summers and the St. John River is lovely and I love the paddleboard and I love the fish, I love to do all that stuff. But it's a desert, folks. We're aliens, we're strangers. This is not our home. This is not your home. Terry, could you hand me my water bottle, please? And so, thank you. Excuse me, folks. It's really important for us, especially in this day and age, when life is really fast, that we develop a set of practices in our life so that we can experience, as Passion talked about last week, the power of God in our life. Because what I'm about to say for the rest, and I'm going to have some people share some things, I love gathering on Sundays. I love equipping nights. I love like gathering together in our small groups and life groups and so on. All of those things are great. And they're needed. And good on you for being here today on such a cold day, minus 22 with the wind chill. But here's the thing. That's one side of the coin. And Jesus is calling us to himself. He's calling each and every person in here, no matter how old you are, he's calling you to himself. He's embracing you and he's saying, it's wonderful that you're not denying the gathering together, which it talks about in the book of Hebrews, but it's another thing that we must develop a set of practices in our life to strengthen ourselves. See, Jesus, he got away by himself with his Father. And Jesus calls us to do the same. You want to be like Jesus? Well, he calls us to himself. And so if we go to the next slide, there are benefits to developing a devotional life in Jesus. And so wherever you're at with this, I have to say, first of all, like, none of this is intended to make anybody feel guilty. Far from it. In fact, my hope is that by the end of today, by the time we're done, is that you're going to be encouraged to be able to say, I can do this too. Because if we're honest, and I don't need a show of hands, how many know that developing regular routines and practices, let's go back to the very first, at the beginning today, this is not about resolutions, but when we're trying to develop a new lifestyle, how many know that's not easy? It's true, right? But when we develop and when we start to practice devotional practices on a regular basis with Jesus, it deepens our relationship with Jesus, and we become more personally attached to him. We develop an expectancy in our life. The more time you spend with Jesus, Jesus was an expectant person. He is an expectant person. He was always, in the scriptures, you look at the gospels, he was expectant that his father would show up in power when he went to do something. He was expectant. You can have an expectancy that's given to you by the Spirit as you spend time with him. We grow spiritually. It enables us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which we just read. See, apart from Jesus, guess what, folks? You can do nothing. I can do nothing. Jesus said, I am the what? I'm the vine. You are the branches. We rest in him. We are transformed. It leads to a personal transformation. It does something to you when you spend time with Jesus in a methodical, scheduled type of way. It just does something. Most times when I spend time with Jesus, for me, it's early in the morning. I don't hear God necessarily speak to me. Sometimes I get an impression by the Spirit, which I identify as God speaking to me. But most of the time, like, nothing. But something is happening to me, and it starts to come out in other areas of my life. I start to realize all of a sudden I have a greater desire to share the truth of what God has put in my life with other people. I'm like, where'd that come from? Could it be that it's attached to the fact that I am practicing the way with Jesus? Could it be? It's like going to the gym. We start small, right? But it leads to a transformation. If you go to the gym over a long period of time, you'll see a transformation take place. But it doesn't, if you were to look at somebody after 2 weeks of going to the gym and say, hey, I'm going to the gym now. How long have you been going? Well, I've been going 2 weeks. I've been going every day. And then the person might look and say, doesn't look like it. I don't see any difference. The person may not notice, the person who's doing this every day may not notice anything immediately. But over the course of time, you certainly notice something. And even if someone doesn't notice it, I still feel better. Like there's something that's happening to me. God gives me joy and peace in my life. Like when I start my day with Jesus, something happens in my life where the trajectory for my day is set off. There's also a really neat intentionality. I become more intentional with my day. As I said before, we're all following something, and most of us in the world are following something. We don't even know what we're following, but we're becoming something. We really don't know what that is. It's like trying to bake a cake, just throwing a bunch of ingredients together. That's kind of what it's like when we're not intentional. We're just hoping with our eyes closed and a lot of effort, throwing a bunch of stuff in the pan, throw it in the oven. We don't know what temperature to put it at, and something's getting produced, but I don't really know what it is. And something does get produced, but it's probably not edible. But we're intentional. Jesus builds intentionality into our lives, builds a discipline in our lives. And there's obviously what happens here, there's a community impact with all this. Because the more time you spend with Jesus on your own, the more you'll want to be with his people. This should not cause you to be a monk hidden away somewhere. This should cause you to want to be with his people. You want to be with God's people. So, I have some friends that I'm going to talk to right now. And so if we go to the next slide. We have a few personal stories. And Angela said, oh, you have to give the Phil Donahue reference. So there it is. Most of you who are under the age of 40 will not know who Phil Donahue is. I don't even know if he's still alive. He was a talk show host. And he used to have like a couch and a chair. And he used to get around and talk to people. And so, basically, and Gideon, I'm going to get you to help me. Yeah, I know. All, but it's very specific. Hurry up. Come on. Get your shoe on, buddy. Come on. Dude, seriously. You got your shoes off? What are you, on the airplane or something? Get up here. Okay. Jerusha, wave your hand. See Jerusha over there? Go give that to her. Don't you talk into that microphone. You go give that to her. Oh, seriously. Oh, heart be still. You did it. Awesome. You're going to give him a hand. Are we tracking this morning? Okay. Jerusha has the mic. And the microphone's on, by the way. Okay. And you kind of have to, we say some. You have to eat the mic, so you have to put it right close to your mouth. Okay. So Jerusha, just in relation to developing a devotional life and what it means to follow Jesus, first of all, how long have you been following Jesus that you know of?
About 24 years, which about is 24 not that years. Long, sadly.
Yeah, and in terms of the things that I'm talking about this morning, in terms of developing a consistent pattern of spending time with Jesus, has this been for you in your life as a believer in Jesus, a follower of Jesus, has this been at any time a problem or a challenge?
Absolutely.
And so can you tell me and tell us how, what that would look like as for the, how would it be a problem?
Well, at first it was fine, and then I had kids. And then you have trouble finding time to do it because kids are always asking for things. And then as they got older, I found that we were, because if anyone doesn't know, both of my kids have autism. And just that season of, we weren't survive, like we're surviving. We weren't in thrive mode at all. It was just like surviving every day.
Yep.
And so I felt like I didn't have time to sit down and read the Bible or study the Bible. And like, I know that God was with us every step of the way and we felt that, but I personally did not study the Bible every day in that season.
Yeah. And so can you talk about what kinds of things do you do now, and is it daily, is it like every second day, or what's the pattern of your, you know, to carve, because folks, Jerusha does have a very full life. I've been to her place for supper. Okay, but how what does it look like today?
Well, I learned that I do a daily Bible study now. But I learned that I couldn't do it unless it was the morning. Because life gets in the way. And if I waited until like after work or in the evening, my brain is soup after like 5 p.m. So I couldn't take it in. So I had to make the personal sacrifice, because I am a night hawk, to go to bed earlier so that I could wake up earlier. And it's been really good. So I'm doing like a daily Bible study. I've done a bunch of them over the years. But this year I'm doing the New Testament in a year, because when I did a chronological study last year, which was great. It was the first time I did that, but you don't really get to the New Testament until October, and then you just fly on through it, and I just felt like, you know, this is the year for the New Testament, so
awesome.
That's what I'm doing.
Awesome. And do you change things up from time to time as the year goes on? Like, how does that look?
Yeah, so right now I'll read, like, we're only in Mark 5 today because it's and it's February 2nd, so that just tells you how slow it goes. But I'll change it up. Sometimes I'll just read the Bible, and then sometimes I'll use different apps like Through the Word, or I have a Bible study book from the Daily Grace School called Behold, and it's basically just the New Testament in the year. And then other times I'll like hit up the commentaries as time permits. Sometimes I am lazy and don't get out of bed in time, so it's more rushed than others.
Yeah.
But it's really good to get different perspectives on what you're reading.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you, Jerusha. Let's give Jerusha a hand. Kim, would you mind getting the mic and bringing it back to me? Kim Chalmers, can you get the mic and bring it back to me? I'm going to invite Mihaela Longworth up. So Mihaela, let's give Mihaela a hand as she comes to the platform. You can have the comfy couch. So Mihaela is, I think, well, actually, you can tell everybody, you're in school currently, and can you just give us a brief what grade are you in school, etc.
So my name's Mihaela, and I'm 17 years old, and right now I'm in grade 12.
Yeah, okay. And would you be able to describe what it means for you to spend daily time with Jesus, assuming that you do, and has that ever been a problem or a challenge for you? And if so, how do you get through that, and how does it work?
For me, it's a time to just be at peace and to bring everything forward. And I find that the days that I don't, I get very anxious and I feel unsteady, because it's almost like that foundation that I had is no longer there, and I'm very unaware of how I should go about my day, because I just have nothing to stand on.
Right. And so you practice that in the morning?
For the most part.
For the most part?
Yeah, I find that it often varies on my day. I don't necessarily have a set time that I talk to God. Oftentimes it's I wake up and I just pray to him. I just talk to him.
Yeah.
As if he's like my friend. Other days it's sitting down and just thinking about what God's talking to me about and drawing it.
Oh, you draw it?
Yeah.
Interesting. And so do you have like a journal or a book that you would draw? And do you write some things sometimes?
Yep.
And what kinds of things would you write?
Sometimes it's like verses that just are speaking to me in that moment that I feel apply to what's been going on in my life. And then other times it's just words of encouragement.
Very cool. And I guess, how do you see that? I think you've already implied it, but how does that play out in the rest of your day and your week? Like, how does that affect you at school, perhaps?
I think when it comes to school, I just, specifically with friends, I don't know how to approach them or just feel confident in what I believe, because I can't show what I have when I haven't gone forward to God.
Okay. So he strengthens you. Mm-hmm. You feel that you're strengthened.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? It's really great. Let's give her a hand. Thank you. Colin and Jacqueline. Why don't you come on up? Talked to Peter this morning about bringing this up onto the stage, and he said, "Oh, the love seat." And I said, "Oh, yeah."
Thanks.
So, Colin and Jacqueline, I guess much the same thing. How long have you guys been following Jesus that you know of? I say that for reason, but.
Yeah, I've been following Jesus my whole life, as from the age that I knew who Jesus was and could follow him. So. 28, so I don't know, maybe 25 years.
Yes. Colin?
I got baptized 6 years ago, and I grew up Catholic, so I can say that I knew who Jesus was, but I wouldn't say I had a relationship with him until the last 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah. And so the things that we're talking about this morning, can you talk about, because obviously like you're married and you're newly married too, mm-hmm. How important are the things that we're talking about this morning to you guys, and what does that look like, and how are you growing in that?
Yeah, so my routine would be, like, first thing in the morning, I normally have my phone on airplane mode, which makes me miss some supply calls, but, the first thing I'll do is open up the Bible app in the morning, and I'm either doing some sort of plan, or if I'm not, I'll just look at the verse of the day and listen to that quick 1 minute video or whatever. Sometimes it's a bit more of a routine than internalizing things, but then throughout the day, I wouldn't say there's anything that's set in stone. Sometimes listen to Through the Word if I have a bit of a commute and if I remember to. And then at night is kind of when I have my routine, I'd say. Like, we like to read before bed. I try to read some sort of scripture before bed. Right now I'm reading the story, which is kind of like a condensed version of the Bible.
Cool.
And then try to journal, which hasn't been too frequent in the last few months, but that's normally when I would do my written prayers type of thing, and that's
awesome.
Best for me.
Right. Jacqueline, what about you?
Yeah, I've it's definitely changed over the years. Right now, so during COVID, our church made it a habit of like learning the Lord's Prayer, which is, where is that in scripture? It's like, it's in the Bible. If you don't know, but it's like, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, if you don't know. So like, that's the first thing that I recite when I wake up in the morning. So I'll just go through that in my head. And something that I've come to do is, I realize that I'm a real rule follower. So there have been periods in my life where I felt like to be a good Christian, the first thing you do in the morning needs to like be get up and open your Bible before anything else. And I realized that when I did that, I was kind of going through the motions and I wasn't really awake yet. So my habit is to get up, I'll, you know, say my quick prayer, and then I'll get my body moving first. So I'll do a bit of exercise, and then, you know, they say to create a habit, attach it to something you already do. So like, we all get dressed in the morning. So I try to, before I get dressed, I'll spend time with the Lord, and I have some devotionals that I have going. I kind of, because I used to have a lot of rules for myself around like following Jesus, and it became very like
almost legalistic, rule based. Yeah,
and I just felt like sometimes I was just going through the motions, right. And so now I try
more
to
relational now.
Yeah, it's a lot more relational now, where I'll just kind of be like, okay, God, like, what should I do? Yeah. Should I grab my devotional? Should I grab my Bible? Should I just like pray for a bit first, and then I kind of see where He leads in that? And it's taken a long time to get to that, but definitely doing it first thing in the morning is good.
And I forgot to mention or ask, like, what do you guys, what's your daily, like, what are you studying? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm in school, so every day is a little bit different right now, just because depending on class times. But the days that I start class a little bit later, I really love those days, because I have more time in the morning to just spend time with God. The days that I have earlier classes, it's like a quicker time in the morning, and then I'll try and spend time with Him more later. But.
So my day is basically the school day type of thing. Supply teaching and doing some other stuff. But I think right now, like I mentioned in the story, did you want to know like what we're specifically studying?
Yeah,
so in the story right now, I'm kind of in, I think, the part with David and turning it over to Solomon type thing. And then, I think, are you doing something specific? I think the last thing we'll mention about our routine is we try to, like, right before we go to bed.
Together.
She'll be reading something, I'll be reading something and journaling on our own, and then we try to do just a quick prayer together, and then we end with the Lord's Prayer as well.
Good.
Yeah, so that's something we started when we were dating, just, like, on the phone and stuff.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Amazing. Yeah. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it very much. So when I asked all of the people this morning to share, I intentionally didn't want to pick people who like feel that they have it all together. And they're just like us. Right? We have our challenges, we have our struggles, we have our varied schedules, we have all those things, but God is with us. And so if we go to the next slide, we're going to finish up really quick. So there are challenges, and we've heard about some of them already. One of the challenges is time pressures. You have time pressures on your life, right? We have distractions that can come against us and prevent us, right, if we're not careful. So sometimes it means, as you heard Colin say, putting your phone on airplane mode and you're not checking, you know, the scores, or you're not, whatever. You get the idea. So to basically put it aside. Sometimes we struggle with a lack of motivation, depending on, you know, we go through our moods, right? We go through our times where we just lack the desire to spend time with God. And that's where, I guess, we have to push through. We push through that. There's priorities. And I can't answer this one for you, but perhaps there are some priorities that we need to change. Maybe there's something that can be let go of. Maybe if you heard it
I forget who it was, I think it was Jerusha. Jerusha said, you know, I'm a nighthawk, and so I've decided to change my priority, and I go to bed earlier so I can get up earlier. Like, it kind of fits, right? So we change our patterns and our lifestyles in order that we can spend time with Jesus, because it's worth it. It's worth it. It really is. And sometimes we just simply don't know how to engage with Jesus, and that's where, you know, if you don't know how to engage with Jesus, if you don't know the things to do, people are talking about different apps and so on that you can utilize. Like, folks, as I said earlier, we're in community together. Come and talk to me. Talk to Jerusha. Talk to Colin and Jacqueline. Talk to Mahala. Talk to any of us, and we can help you, because don't feel that you can't, you know, for whatever reason, go to someone and say, what do you do? I always enjoy asking people what they do. And sometimes we just have emotional barriers. Sometimes we're going through difficult things. And sometimes the speed of life and the things that happen to us and so on, they can cause us to feel that we just can't do it. But I encourage you, even if it's just a small thing, put a stake in the ground. And lastly, folks, we have an enemy who wages war against us. And guys, all of these ones tell us it's a battle. It's a battle. And lastly, if we go to the last slide, we have those challenges, but there's the how-tos, and you heard some of those, right? We set a specific time. Find a time, a slot, something. If it's not the same time every day, I'm going to do 15 minutes, and I'm going to do it when I can. Or maybe you can do every morning. Maybe it means adjusting your get-up time. You start small. It's like we're baby-stepping. You take the small steps, because every step you take will result in a growing relationship with Jesus. So you start small. We don't go all out. How many know, I've seen people come to the gym day one, they go all out, and I never see them again, right? So we start small. We take a bite-sized thing, and then we can find a dedicated space, whether it's in your home, Colin mentioned in his car. It could be if you're at school, you have a break time, and what do you normally do on your break time at school? Find a space in the school where you can just sit there and maybe reflect on a scripture, or maybe you just say, I'm gonna pray the Psalms. I'm just going to learn how to pray the Psalms. Again, these are things that are attainable. We use daily activities to enhance. So when I'm doing the mundane tasks of life, sometimes I'll have a podcast in my headphones. If I'm doing something that allows that, I'll do that. Or if I go for a walk, and I walk a lot, I always have my headphones in, and whether it's scripture that's on the playlist that day, or it could be some worship music, or it could be a podcast or an audiobook, something that is intentional. I can set reminders and alarms. We heard about that this morning as well. We can take a personal inventory of where we're at in our lives. And maybe sometimes that's a good thing to do. Do you know any good retail store does a store inventory every year? They find out what they got and what they need. Well, you can find out what you have and what you need by taking a personal inventory. That's a scary thing to do. Because if you take a personal inventory of what your life is like, sometimes it's difficult. We talked about apps, journal, the Bible itself. Like, those are things that we can help you with. Get a partner. Maybe to start with, you get somebody to say, hey, I'm having a real problem in doing this, but could I do something with you? And maybe for the first little bit, you do something with a partner. And the other thing is to be flexible. We've already heard that this morning, too. Sometimes it doesn't work out that you can do this in the morning. Maybe you have to find another time because of something, weeds that grow up in the middle of your day. All of those things, folks. All of those things. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's not left you to dry, hung out to dry. He's provided his Spirit for us to have a flourishing relationship with him on a daily basis. Folks, I was asking myself the question, well, why do I even want to speak about this morning? The why is, for me, is I have not arrived, and I'm certainly not perfect. But I know this, that the patterns that I've established in my life have saved my life. And I just want your lives to flourish in these areas. Because if they do, if you do these things, if you do develop a pattern of devotion to Jesus, you will see the benefits in your life and in the lives of those around you. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So we're going to ask the worship team to come back. And I just want to, as they come back, and I need some volunteers to take the couch off the stage. Maybe the same people that brought it up could come and get it to take it off. Yeah, Angela could lay back on the couch. Why don't we all stand if we're able? Thank you, guys. You need that. There you go. And this morning, as we close with a song, I feel like here we are, February 2nd. This is the unresolution Sunday. This is a moment where we can say, you know what, Jesus, I just want to once again consecrate my life, my whole life to you. And I want to experience your power in my life. I want to experience your power in our church. And this is, like I said, this is the other side of the corporate coin. This is the personal part. And so I'd like to pray for us, because folks, you got to know, this is an area that I continually change up. I continually work with, but I've seen the benefits in my life, in the lives of those around me. So Lord Jesus, this morning, we just lift up our hands and we just say, we want to be faithful followers. We want to be those who are wrapped up in love with you. We want to know you. Lord, we just give our lives to you this morning. We just consecrate 2025 to you, that we would know you, that we be with you, that we become like you, that we would do the things that you do. Lord Jesus, would you come and fill us with hope where there might be no hope? God, would you fill us with a sense of expectancy about what you're going to do in our lives, God? Would we be able to disrupt the patterns of our life for you? Lord, that's what you want to be with us. You want to be with your people. Your word over and over again says how much you want to be with us. And so, Lord, we want to make a runway for you this morning and for this week and this month and this next year. In Jesus' name.